As ever, we are joined, Brother Delightful Anne Lord Jackson. Hello, Anne.
Hello, lovely to see you.
Indeed, here we are again, session 25.
Oh, there we go.
I've got on my little, I've got a little piece of paper and it says number 25 on it. So,
yay.
25 of these. We hope you're enjoying these. We are. And we've looked at so many things since we began. I kind of always like to recap on some of the topics and subjects because sensory health can be so sort of put in such a tiny box of, oh, it's a little child who's got to drop in the supermarket, which may be a small portion, but it's a massive, massive range. And I loved how some of our first topics were things like somebody who was literally brain damaged from brain surgery and struggled with remembering as an older adult in their 50s. I loved how we started that because sensory health, it's so encapsulating and it's everywhere, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this morning, funny, yesterday I was chatting with a lady from Baby Sensory, who's also connected with Toddler Sensory. So we're looking at how they might be able to signpost to me for those that they recognize there's something just not quite typical in their development. And then earlier this morning, just chatting with one of the adults who recognizes she got coordination issues, but would like to find out more about how she is, because she recognizes there might be some other sensory overload that she experiences and what can she do about it. So she said she was really clued into who she is. She just doesn't know what to do about it. So,
Which is where you come in.
Yeah.
And if you're listening and you haven't watched one of these, the background behind Anne has been changing a little bit of late. And it's exciting for me because the climbing wall is back in the background.
I can't wait for you to see the full kit, the full works. You know, God willing, that's where we're going. We'll see.
The climbing wall makes me so happy. I don't know why particularly, but it smiles. So if you've not watched this interview, here is your little nudge, not just to listen, but to go and watch back the interview on catch up later as well. Right. Now, I wanted to touch on autism because you've had some stuff with that recently, but I wanted to start here because the weather here in the UK, we're about to go for our 3-day summer, I guess, before we hit winter again. But in the midst of that, when it gets warmer, the environment's going to change, isn't it? And if you've got somebody who's struggling with their sensory health anyway, with an increase in temperature, how best can we start to prepare, I guess, the home, family members, maybe regular visitors, aunts, uncles, for, okay, it's getting warmer. Here's how you can help my brother, my uncle, my son, my daughter, ahead of it getting warmer and some of the extra sensory health challenges that will bring.
Yeah. Often when it comes to temperature regulation is a very specific part of sensory processing and integration. And then there's not only the actual regulation of it, it's the understanding and having the correct words to associate, oh, I'm hot, I'm cold, or sometimes people can feel things, but they can't work out what it is they're feeling. They're just starting to feel a bit uncomfortable. So it's worth just being aware that temperature and temperature struggles are real. Listen to them, just honor the fact that, yes, if somebody says something, then accept that that is real for them. They may not be able to describe it terribly well, but that's okay because you can then have a conversation about it. Sometimes it takes, it's part of the bit that we call habituation. Habituation is when you get used to something and you can switch things off in the background. If you're happening to be listening to other things as well as my voice in the background, your brain will be able to switch off and just pay attention to my voice as I'm speaking. That's the sense of habituation, and it can ignore those external things. When it comes to temperature and temperature changes, it can take ages for the brain to get used to something new. So if you wear new clothes, if you have to wear shorts instead of trousers, some people can't change that quickly. So the weather might be getting warmer and we think, well, hey, let's get the shorts and the t-shirts out. But actually their bodies are not yet ready because the processing of that tactile information isn't there yet. It'll take a few more days, you know, so it's possibly by the end of the 3 days that they'll be ready to be in their shorts and t-shirts, but the weather will have changed and then they're stuck. They've managed to change, but it's just been slower. So recognize that people's recognition of those temperature changes can sometimes be slower. Sometimes it's just completely different to our own temperature regulation anyway. And they will say, for example, in the cold, they'll go out in their shorts and without a jacket. even though we perceive it to be really cold. When it comes to the heat, it is worth paying attention because they will start sweating if they haven't recognized that it's important to take a layer off. And that's when it gets into, it's worth commenting then at that point if they will receive you giving them advice about that. So just be aware, you may need to be more aware for them and suggest that they might want to take their top off. They might not. And that's something to recognize. Otherwise you get to be the nagging mum, the nagging dad, the nagging auntie saying, oh, take your top off. It's really hot. And actually they're not feeling it. But if you suggest it to them, they may then think, oh yeah, that would be a good idea. And I will actually go and take that off. So yeah, it's worth keeping an extra mind on it. That's all. Yeah. What were you going
to
say?
I say, I guess the flip side of that is to actually think they may not realize they're getting too hot. And there may come a point at which you have to say, regardless of whatever may happen after this, we need to cool you down. So I'm going to have to forcibly remove something, because there's also that, I suppose, due to care sounds a bit official, but if somebody can't regulate or recognize that for themselves, whilst the first thing is always best to say, let's suggest you do this, I guess at some point we have to think a bit further than that. If I'm hot, they could probably be hot, and we might need to get a bit more forceful of, we really need to cool you down. Because now you're in a really hot place and you're really not seeing it because we've got a different perspective.
Yeah, yeah. And because we know for some who do get too hot, then that will affect behaviour. They will start getting much more aggressive and much more dysregulated, much unhappier, but they can't work out what it is. And sometimes we do need to just be a little bit more assertive in what we think and actually just take that direction. Depends on the age, depends on who they are, depends on how they respond to you. But there are certainly those that you know that if you don't step in, they are going to get more aggressive and more challenging in their behaviours. So, and then when it gets hot at night, we'll probably have to come back to that midsummer.
Yeah.
But just dunking folks in the bath, really literally cooling their whole system in whatever way, shape or form they will tolerate. That's, we are going to be coming up to that.
I can see why you're the occupational therapist and I'm not. I use the word forceful. You use the word assertive, which is much more appropriate.
I just have to be really careful. Yeah, we mean the same thing. We know the same thing, but it's just language is powerful, isn't it? So
your word is better, basically. That's fine. I'm not the occupational therapist. You know, that's not my side of things. One thing that we learned years and years ago, which is simple for anybody, is a spray bottle of water. Mm. Because if you can make the skin wet, actually, it's easier to evaporate. So that's a really fun one. And maybe that's a fun way of getting somebody who really doesn't want to take that jacket off. Okay, well, here's a bit of a fun game. Let's spray your legs, you know, or something. There are fun ways of trying to engage with people who don't want to engage back.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that is a fantastic one, except if they are tactile over responsive. Having that kind of spray that like sends them on alert, and therefore they're not only hot, and then they're just like, ah, you know, their tactile system has really, you know, gone into kind of like, woo, not happy mode. So, but yes, it's finding out their unique sensory health profile and their unique sensory preferences. So that is it a fan? Is wind going to be helpful? Do they need ice packs and some frozen peas to cool their skin down? Is it that they need a bottle spray? Do they just need, wind or to dunk themselves literally in something, in a bowl of water, if a natural spray itself isn't tolerable? Well, so, yeah, plenty of options.
But don't go around spraying people because it's fun. Do make sure that they're okay with that and you're not going to cause more problems of a different nature, is basically the advice. You see, I'm not the OT, you are. Right. Okay, so let's just touch briefly on what I'm going through at the moment. So I'm going to hold this up for you. So this is a little heart monitor thing, which you should be able to see. It's attached to my body, so my cardiologist can see what's going on with my heart. I've already taken the stickers off one time, because I have to change them every day for 5 days, and it really hurt. So I'm already thinking, the next time I do this, I'm already thinking about the senses. I'm already apprehensive about taking the stickers off tomorrow, because it's going to hurt. And now it's hurt once. I'm going to be even more tuned in. So a really simple help, please, of how do I prepare myself to not focus so much on the pain I'm about to go through ripping off a sticker?
This is a really good one, actually. We need, well, it would be nice to bring your dear lovely wife into this. But massage, there is something about preparing the body. Unfortunately, yes, we have associations already in your brain that this hurts, and you've already got that ow and that anticipation, which raises your anxiety, which actually makes you more sensory sensitive as well, which is a real bummer. It's a real shame that that's what happens, but that's what happens to our nervous systems. So the anticipation isn't great, but we can set your body up better before you do that. So in fact, I would go back to the ice packs or finding something that you might experiment. You're going to be doing this for a few days, aren't you? Replacing these.
Four more sets.
How many more?
Four more sets of stickers to take off.
Four more. You could have a little, yes, an experiment on finding your own perfect way of setting up your system so that it doesn't hurt as much. Or not look forward to something as much. I'm not saying that you will really look forward to this experience, but hey, we'll see what we can do. But massage, deep touch pressure is brilliant. And even if it's not on the area itself, because it might be sore, I don't know what those, I think they're just taped on your skin, are they? They're not in your skin.
No, so it's a sticker, but there's a metal, it's like a metal nipple thing. So I've got connections to put onto it. So that's constantly being pushed against the skin during the night, during the day. So there's a metal thing. So the whole area is already sore. Right. There's no way around that. That's just what it is. And then there's a sticker that holds that on. There's a cable with the opposite end. You plug it on and there you go.
Yeah. So what I would try and do, because a brain can only process so much information at a time, is massage all the way around the rest of your body. The bits that are not sore, the few minutes before you do whatever you need to do, whatever procedure you need to undertake. And that's where it can be lovely for somebody else to do that. You just get the whole family involved. And it's just like, you know, you can do your head and your legs and just give yourself a good rub for 2 to 5 minutes before. So A, you're getting some lovely input into your brain to begin with. You probably can't. I always love jumping on a trampoline, regardless of what age you are. However, if you've got straps, you know, attached to you, that may not be the best thing. But it's using the other senses to be in a really good, calm, organized nervous state, before you then do something to stimulate the arousal responses in the body. But yeah, a lovely massage. While you're doing it, if you're not connected, you could potentially have a foot spa. I'm not sure electric wise what's going on, but it's, or someone else to give you a foot massage or a hand massage if someone else was able to do your little thingies, whatever you call them. Do your patches, for want of a better word. To giving you extra stimulation, possibly listening to something that you really like.
There you are. And there's a little metal thing in the middle, which is solid. Of course, that's just going to keep on pressing into the skin. So the whole area does get sore over time.
Yeah, because, so it's turned out the way pressing into your skin, turned in the way pressing into your skin. Yeah. So it's trying to, avoid that area, rub around it as much as you can. You can get it. You can get a brush, you can get your hand, you can get rollers, just go around the rest of your body. And if somebody could do that at the same time as you're doing that, that would be better as well. So set the system up well to begin with. Have something to listen to, have something to chew on, watch something if you want to, so that all your other senses have lots of input, so that there's less awareness for your brain to pay attention to the ow factor that is due to happen. So yeah, rollers at the same time, massage, chewing, using the oral motors, using the mouth area, hearing, smells, sights, those kind of things, just bombard the brain with other sensations. But deep touch pressure will, in particular, override that ow factor in your tactile system.
Which I suspect by three or fourth go is going to be more sore, because it's got to go in exactly the same place. So it's not like I can move it to a fresh place and let that one heal. It needs to go where it is because it's marked now. So, And next week, we'll let you know how Andy B got on pulling off stickers and whether there's a better way of doing it without pain.
And of course pain relief, but that's using medication as well.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you've recently had, which I thought was interesting, a chat about autism. Autism seems to be It seems to be on the increase. I don't know if it's on the increase so much as we're getting better at spotting it, or whether there is some sort of increase. I know that in certain parts of the country, there are spikes of cases of autism, which does suggest perhaps there is some kind of societal thing or family. I don't know. This is not my area, but there are definitely some spikes of occurrence of autism. But you just recently had a chat about autism, haven't you, in regards to senses?
Yeah, we had an autism education training, which now, in the last few years, sensory processing and integration is now part of the autism diagnosis, which on the one hand is great, because we've been recognizing it as OTs for 60, 70, 80 years, as part of the presentation of anybody who has been diagnosed on the spectrum in the past. That was always part of their profile. You know, about 95% of people with autism or autistic people will have sensory processing and integration issues. So the positive thing about raising awareness is that there is so much more acceptance about autism. So it's moved, I believe, from Autism Awareness Week to Autism Acceptance Week, thinking that there is so much more awareness now about autism. So even the language about how autism is promoted and made, you know, just spread around is much more about acceptance. So again, that is brilliant that there's a lot of acceptance, because we're all different and we all ought to be valued and, you know, cherished for who we are and how we are. But it was really strong coming out that it was all about acceptance and not really about changing anything. So from the autistic perspective, then that is super. It's just because now that sensory processing integration is part of that diagnosis, I'm a little wary that people are going to think, well, we'll just accept their sensory processing differences and not actually seek to actually get it treated, to actually get it helped, to get it changed so that life is easier to live with. When I'm working with folks who are hitting and kicking and screaming and biting and really, I still would consider to be unpleasant, that it may be a judgment, but it's really not something that we want folk to live with. I don't know anybody who would actually want to accept that behavior. We can understand that behavior for sure, but I still think we ought to be going in and treating it. It's not something just to stand by and think, oh yeah, you can do that whenever you want to, whoever you want. If we can actually do something about it, I think we ought to. So that was where it was really interesting yesterday, just coming away from that session thinking, oh, yeah, I really do need to promote that. Yes, we have sensory health and we want to make the very best of who we are, but sometimes that does involve actually treating and accepting that actually we don't want to just accept and live with things. We can change them to make them better. So
I recently interviewed a friend of mine who has worked with the deaf community for a long time. And she was it's interesting because there's a bit of crossover here. She was talking about how the deaf community in particular, when the cochlear implants started to become a thing, where they can sort of plug in a sort of speaker thing and you can hear yourself, and there was a real pushback from the deaf community saying, you're trying to basically eradicate deaf people. And in their own selves, we are a community of people. So it's fascinating learning about that, because that wasn't something I'd ever kind of considered. But the crossover here is you've got a community of people with autism. We can't fix autism in that sort of medical sense any more than we can actually fix a deaf person's inability to hear for the majority. But they're still a community of people. And it's that difference, isn't it, between accepting that here's part of who they are, but we're not going to accept bad behavior, because bad behavior is not something we should ever say, oh, that's okay, it's understandable because bad behavior is still not okay.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's how we find, how we discern how much is to understand and go with how an autistic brain works and how they think, which has incredible bonuses, so many positives when you think in a certain way. It just opens up so many doors, and we've got so many people in society that have created and established remarkable things because of the way that their brain works. So yeah, it isn't about, there's no need to fix any of that. There's no need to change any of that. We do need to understand that and work out how best to work with them and help them to live in our society. We just need to be able to communicate well so that everybody functions well in their life. But it's that bit that is the sensory processing and integration that's the bit we do want to change, because that is the thing that can lead to those challenging behaviors, those difficult behaviors that are hard to handle. And yes, let's change those where we can, because that's not really acceptable in society. And we do have norms. There is a general awareness of what is right and wrong, and what people like and what they don't like being on the receiving end of. And let's not make that all good. It's like everybody's truth. You know, you have your own truth and everybody's truth, and there is no absolute truth, and there are no rights and wrongs. And it's all of that high philosophical, theoretical debate that we can often have. But it's really important that we do acknowledge that, yes, certain things we need to learn how to work with differently, and other things we need to look at how we can actually change and treat and help systems work better.
I had an idea early on of an illustration of how the heat thing might affect and how we could understand that, because my glasses are reactor light. So if I hit sunshine, very, very quickly, they're very, very dark, like proper thick shades. When I come into a dark room, they're not so fast at switching back to being clear, which they are now because I'm inside. But I think that's something we can understand, most of us. And just coming back to the heat issue, we can understand that glasses can go dark quickly and they can take a long time to come back to being proper non-sunglasses types. But in a sense, it's a similar sort of thing, isn't it? With temperature, we can get one thing, but to come back off that or vice versa can take longer. So actually, we should be able to understand just from a pair of glasses. We can react to something quickly, or we can react to something much slower.
That's a really, really good example. Really good example. I think people can understand that. Yeah, brilliant.
I like to try and, you know, use myself where we can, because I think far more simplistically, because I don't have a massive understanding of sensory health or the deaf community or whoever, I have some knowledge of some things. So if I can find a way of trying to illustrate through some art I can understand, maybe that'll help somebody else. And I love helping people.
Oh, that's great. Yes.
Right. If you've got any questions for Anne Law Jackson for next week, that's fine. You can email them to us here. Hello@pure247radio.org. Hello@pure247radio.org. Anything you've seen in the news, if you've got any suggestions for me on how I should get rid of painful sticker things for a heart monitor, you can email those as well. Whatever works for you. And if you want to know more about Anne and how she can help you with your individual sensory thumbprint, the best way of doing that is going to pure247radio.org, pure247radio.org/ALJ for Anne Law Jackson.
Perfect.
Thank you, Anne. I will, I'll go and try and get, I'll have to chat to Joe about how to get these stickers off tomorrow, because it really hurts.
Yeah. Just, I'm really creative. Right, Joe, the challenge is on. How can you help your husband's tactile system to be distracted to other things, or just get lots of deep touch pressure in?
So music, TV, food, massage, and rip them off.
It sounds good, doesn't it, actually?
It's not okay with me. Hey, sometimes some of the therapeutic stuff we need to do is not bad.
No, absolutely.
Right. Thank you, Anne Law Jackson, for joining me for another session, number 25. Next week, number 26, which is great. And if you want to watch any of these, by the way, there's a whole back catalogue of all those 25. Go to our YouTube channel, head over to the playlist, and you will find a playlist for Anne Law Jackson. And all the videos are connected and all there in a little list for you to watch. Thank you.
Perfect, doesn't it?
It does. Really. Thank you kindly. Have a great rest of your day, Anne.
You too. Thanks.
Pure 24/7 Radio is listener supported, which means we are free, online, and always pure because of the generous support of our listeners. If you would like to contribute financially, please visit pure247radio.org. If you'd like to find out how we use your money, please visit the Our Cost section. Any donation of any size will help keep us on air and broadcasting for free. Thank you.